Beautiful. Thank you, Grant. Well, take a seat, everybody. Very good. I know in my absence last week that Andrew Hewitt shared the news that Ruth Lewis-Jones is going to be finishing up in her role as our youth pastor here at Caringbah at the 1st of August this year. And so not being here last week to also offer my voice to that moment and to also be able to bless Ruthie in the incredible work that she has done over the last 20 years of being part of our youth ministry. And I've had the personal privilege to have served alongside Ruthie as I was the youth pastor many, many moons ago. And Ruth was started as a youth leader at 18 in our church community here and has been our youth pastor for 7 years. And I want to join in being able to celebrate her and the incredible gift that she has been over the next month until she finishes up. And I certainly commend her to you as having done an incredible job with our young people over the last 7 years in her role. And I know it's going to be many moments over the next few weeks for us to be able to both publicly celebrate Ruthie and what she's been able to contribute to the lives of our young people over so many years, and also publicly as well. And so I know for many families, Ruthie has had a massive impact on your young people's lives, Elise and I included, especially with Rocky over his formative years, has been a huge blessing. And so, friends, I encourage you if you get an opportunity to be able to bless and to be able to thank and get alongside Ruthie for all that she has contributed to the life of our church. Can I encourage you to do that? And I know on the Saturday night service in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have a moment in that service to really publicly thank and appreciate Ruthie. So I know it's been a tough time, tough journey as well in the midst of this. And so appreciate it. Of prayer and understanding as kind of these kind of leadership moments and transitions and change also come with them, come with it. Just the weighty things of change as that happens. And totally disconnected from this change is also Joe Wilton begins in our ministry team this week. And in case you were wondering, these two things are not connected at all. I'd spoken to Joe a year and a half ago about joining our team, and she kindly rejected me and went and did a maternity leave job at another church for the last 18 months. But now is the time where we just feel like the Lord has really brought this to be. And I'm excited for Joe to join our ministry team this week on Tuesday. And her role is going to be around building capacity in our worship community and especially among our young people as that relates to worship. And so would love your guys' prayer and support as that transition and change also happens. So, there's plenty afoot, lots happening, but really appreciative of your prayer, understanding, encouragement for all who are either transitioning into or out of roles at the moment, and more generally as well of our eldership and me, and I know Brett and Jan, as we navigate the landscape of what is always seems to be change in God's church, but trying to do what we can in the midst of that to follow Him wholeheartedly and faithfully into what He's leading us personally into and into as a whole church community. And so thankful for this opportunity as well, as I said, to really bless Ruthie over the next few weeks. So in a few moments, I'm going to I'll invite Shelley and Robin to come up. But as I said, we're going to be looking at the power of partnering with God in prayer. And just a quick story from our time away in Bali. It was kind of day one of the conference, and I was down by the pool, and there was another girl there. I assumed she was there for the conference, but wasn't quite sure. And anyway, turns out that her name's Camilla. She's from Christian Surfers in Melbourne, like the city of Melbourne. I'm like, there's no, anyway, didn't even bother. And I just asked how she was, and she said she wasn't doing so well. She hadn't been sleeping well at all, something that I'd also been kind of struggling with. I sometimes sleep really good, sometimes sleep really terribly as well. And so I just said to Camilla in that moment by the poolside, hey, why don't I just pray for your sleep? And so I just did, and it was nothing really fancy. I don't think I was in my budgie smugglers at that point, thank the Lord, because that could have been really awkward. But no, I just prayed, dear God, I just ask for you to be upon Camilla's sleep and that she would get a really great night's rest tonight in Jesus' name, amen. Not, nothing more than that. It was a really quite simple prayer, and I saw Camilla the next morning, and it was about mid-morning actually, and I said to Camilla, hey, how did you sleep last night? And she said, I had 14 hours of uninterrupted sleep. And on one hand, I was like shocked and surprised, but on the other hand, I'm like, duh. Because prayer releases power to affect real change in the tangible world. Now, that is the gift that we have of prayer. In fact, it was so powerful that, in the Bible, the disciples saw this life of prayer that Jesus lived out, and they came to him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And instead of Jesus getting them into a classroom and get out the whiteboard or all of the theological expositions on prayer, he prayed. He gave them an example of prayer. He gave them a lived experience in that moment of what prayer looked like. And he said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Give us this day our daily bread. And you know how the Lord's Prayer goes. But today I want us to look at Jesus's line in this prayer of, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, Jesus' prayer is incredible, and when you take time to break it down into its parts, you see that he is communicating with every line some incredibly captivating and powerful requests that we are invited into. And also the sum of its parts, the totality of the Lord's Prayer, is absolutely mind-bending as we see what the Lord is inviting you and I into. You know, and I think at times we can really easily get on board with prayer as being a way to meditate and to let go. We can get on board with prayer being a way for us to center ourselves in the midst of a chaotic life or a chaotic moment where we can come to the Lord in that moment. We can get on board with prayer being a way to surrender our desires and to be released from wrongdoing, and in prayer as a way to ask for the Lord's protection. But prayer that really works in the real world, prayer that brings about God's redemptive plans to bring salvation, to usher in redemption, to push back darkness, prayer that makes a real and tangible and visible impact in my friends' lives that I pray for and the real issues that they face, a prayer that calls for the actual reality of heaven to be made manifest right here and right now in this moment. At times, that can feel like a bit much. That can feel like a stretch. God, I can trust you for all of that other stuff, but can I actually trust you that my prayer in this moment is going to have a tangible impact in this world? But Jesus doesn't seem to shy away from the fact that it does. He doesn't back down on the wild claims and the invitation to join him in what he is doing. He was incessantly clear that prayer has power. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." In Mark 11, 24, he says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in my name in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." John 14, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done." He continues on, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you then know that you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, a book that I recommended in our weekly email this week is a book I've been reading while I was away from Tyler Statton, and it's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And I commend it to you as a great read. He says, if we really took Jesus' invitation seriously, if we really believed in the sort of prayer that Jesus talked about, the modern church would have a hard time getting its people to do anything but pray. And if we truly understood what the Lord was inviting us into a life of prayer that affects real change in the world, we would have a hard time doing anything but pray. So we're going to explore the theme of partnering with God in prayer, which, by the way, is not a new invention. Now, as God's created intention and design for us as earthlings to co-labor with Him. And you can rewind the tape to Genesis, not to Jerusalem, that too, but to Genesis, where you see that God breathed life into people and He imparted to them the call to reign and to rule and to exercise His authority imparted to them over the earth to co-labor, to coexist, to co-work, to strain together with the Lord to see His plans unraveled among humanity. And we know that Adam and Eve made a meal of it, but the grace is that even though we also make a meal of it, the Lord continues to pursue us as He pursued them. He didn't just kick them out of the garden and stay and have His own little garden party. No, the Lord left the garden and continually pursued Adam and pursued Eve. And as Israel continued to stuff it up, He didn't stay removed, but He pursued them. And in the same way, the grace upon us, friends, is that even though we get it wrong, even though there's moments where we walk away, even though there's moments where perhaps we build our own statues and idols in life, we bow down to other things, the Lord doesn't leave us alone but pursues us, calling us forward into an invitation to reign and to rule and to partner with Him in what He is doing in the world. And so I'm going to stop talking so much, and I'm going to invite Shelley and Robin to come up. And I've thrown these guys a few questions. Elise, could you grab us those extra couple of stools? That would be marvelous. And before I went away, I lobbed a few bombs these guys by way of some questions to create conversation this morning around this theme of partnering with God in prayer and in what He is doing in the world. These two amazing women, they are mighty pillars of prayer in our community, and I know meet together to pray. I know they've been meeting together to learn about prayer, which piqued my interest when I heard this. They were here for Elise's Pilates thing on a Monday, and Shell asked, hey, can Robin and I hang out and listen to a podcast for a little while on prayer? And I'm like, aha, I know who's going to join me on this one. And so I've asked Robin and Shell just to come and share from their experience, from their insight, from their wisdom. And my hope is that this would feel more like a conversation that you're invited into and to be a part of. And at the end, we're going to finish in communion, and there will be a time for us. We're not even sure what it's going to look like. Kind of this is the step of faith this morning, knowing that the Lord is here and He will direct us. And there will be a way for us to encounter the Lord in prayer this morning that is totally unscripted. And so hold on to your hats. This could go anywhere. And so we don't have to stick necessarily to the exact questions because there was a few in there, but we'll get it started and just see where it see where we go. Is that cool? Are you guys all right with this, or are you feeling uncomfortable? No, good. Come along. I'm not uncomfortable. I'm good. I've just been on holidays. It's all good. So when you hear the phrase, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," what comes to mind?
Shell said I'm answering this one. that God's will be done in your sphere of influence. And I believe this statement is actually, it challenges principalities and powers, and it's spiritual warfare. And if you think of the line before that, your kingdom come, which is not in any way a passive prayer. It's saying, I allow your rule to come in, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which is a very powerful statement when you think about it, so that all other agendas in our world, like materialism, humanism, list goes on, must be displaced for the purpose of God. So that's what you're saying when you say that. And that God's redeeming work is done on my bit of earth, break into the community I'm in, so that powers of darkness are destroyed and captives set free and Jesus is glorified. So it's a very, in that little sentence, is a very powerful thing we're praying. And in a nutshell, when Jesus gave that prayer for his disciples to pray, because they were used to the rabbinical type, you know, recital of prayer. But this was like when they asked this, Lord, teach us how to pray, because they saw in Jesus how he prayed, you know, the kingdom coming. And so in a nutshell, it's that global purpose of God is rooted and fleshed out where I am, right where I am. So I believe it's a very, in that one little statement, your will be done on here as it is in heaven, is very powerful. So.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that, like I even think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he says, Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. And I sort of see that as a posture as well, as if we're going to partner with God in his agenda, his will here on earth as it is in heaven, there's a posture of surrender that has to happen to in a laying down of your life. It's his agenda, it's his will, not our will. And I just read a line from, I'm reading a book called Run With the Horses by Eugene Peterson, and it says, pray, it says, search for that center in which God's will is being worked out, which is what we do when we pray and work from that center.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that idea. Well, and it's a hard idea. I don't like it because it's difficult. As Jesus says, you know, your kingdom, your will, your name, you know, this prayer starts with your, which is a displacement of me. And so maybe if there's a takeaway here to even begin with, that the power of partnering with God in prayer is that there's an invitation to die to self, to hand over our agenda, to hand over what we see maybe as the most important and ask the Lord in this moment, what is most important to you? Father, what is it that you want to do here, not what do I want to see here? And so that act of surrender that displaces the agenda of self, that displaces the parts of the world that aren't right, and ushers in the kingdom of God in that very moment where your feet are planted in the world. Powerful stuff. As I reflect on this as a kid, I remember having the teen NIV Bible beside my bed as a child, and just, you know, every night I remember reading the Lord's Prayer, and it just became that recited, very two-dimensional experience where you just by rote you memorize it and whatnot, and it can become a bit of a powerless thing in that sense. But and I think about how my interaction with the Lord's Prayer has changed over time. I'm curious as to when you think about this idea of God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, maybe how that has been changed or adapted as you've grown and matured in your faith. Has it gone from being something two-dimensional like my experience was to now something where I can be standing by a pool and believe that God's kingdom will come in this person's life, and it does. For me as a kid, that would have been a far removed concept, but now for me I feel like, oh, that's actually normal to expect that. What's been your experience of that as you've grown and matured in prayer? Like, how's the Lord shaped that over the years?
Mine, it's probably similar to what you said, Dave. I sort of, the Lord's Prayer was something I learned as a kid, and I would say it was quite a religious, I'd view it in a religious way of just saying the Lord's Prayer. But in the last 2 years, God's really brought the Lord's Prayer front and centre for me, and it's actually the way I pray now, and I've been seeing the power in praying in that way, which I do think is something that God has just stirred within me, and as I've been praying with a prayer partner to be praying his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. But I'll share some stories about that later, but it is definitely something that I'm praying all the time now.
Yeah, basically the same, because I grew up in the era where it was just you tagged the Lord's Prayer onto everything at the end. So it was just this thing of recital. So it probably is in the last 5 years that's really become alive. And particularly, like Shel said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just that statement alone is just so powerful. So, yeah, just the same, basically, yeah.
Maybe as we talk through this morning, maybe consider your own experience. You know, what's it look like for you in your journey of understanding the Lord's Prayer and your part in it over time? You're like, maybe the Lord's actually got something for you today. Maybe there's a falling off of the scales of the eyes, or the Bible says the eyes of our hearts become more open to what this invitation holds for you this morning. So, let's dive into maybe some more of the practical lived experience. So sharing a moment where you sensed that you were partnering with God in what he was doing, what did that practically look like in that moment, and how did that experience impact you?
Just the last 2 years, I was in between transitioning into a new role, and I got offered a position as a canteen manager at the local school, and that's something I brought to the Lord in prayer. And as I was praying about this role and position, I started to ask the Lord, what's your heart? What do you see here? What's your will here? What do you want to do in this school, in this place? And as I was praying, I just had a picture of it being a well where the spiritually hungry and thirsty would come to drink. And so I took this role, I took this position, and that was the picture I had in mind. So I'd pray over the space, and as soon as I started working, straight away the whole first term, every week, there was just this opportunity to pray for the different people, women that would come in. And I sort of sensed it was just a move of God as well. In the sense that I've never had a time where I felt like I had to really ask questions, but it was, these people were so open in sharing their life and what was happening that it wasn't, can I pray for you? It was, I have to pray for you. And so every week there was stories of like Dave by the pool going, can I pray for you? And just seeing God's will in the school, in the canteen. And for me, that was I was blown away by that we get to partner with God, that he would use me in that space, and the joy that comes from that, the joy of mission as God uses you and works through you.
My experience of partnering with God was when, in my old church, this was about 20 odd, longer than that, I can't remember, but we were baptizing people and were considered by Synod at the time that we were very fundamentalist because we believed the Word of God, and in our church it was a no-no to be not baptizing people instead of infant baptism, so we were told to stop. So we had two ministers at the time, and before we ended up leaving the United Church to go out on our own, and they were wrestling with all of that, because for the ministers it meant they would have to give up their homes, their wages, and one of the ministers had 6 kids. He lived next door to the church, so it was a costly call to, if that's what we felt God was saying. So we were praying about it, and at the time, it was a really significant time because I was beginning to pray for it, and I then felt physically like I was giving birth to something. And I was going through, it's a strange experience of giving birth. And at the time, I hadn't given birth to my first child yet. So it was, in that sense, a real experience but it was just, for me, it was an intercession that I was partnering with God in giving birth to something, and the people and in that time recognized that God was doing something and was it was confirmation that he was doing a new thing and that he was in this. So that was a real time I felt God, yeah, I was really partnering with God in that and giving birth to something new. Yeah.
That would have been an experience. I've seen childbirth. Yeah. I've got, there's a couple of quotes that I knew I'd pull out of the book that I've been reading just because I knew they'd be connected to where we're going today. But Tyler Statton, he says, intercession, which you touched on here, is a willing and intentional choice to turn from the endless spiral into the self, my desires, my needs, my circumstances, to the desires, the needs, and the circumstances of another. To utter even a syllable of intercessory prayer is a profound act of love. And I was thinking about both of your stories, I know, even seeing some of the fruit shell of the community out on the peninsula out there in Kurnell and what God's been doing, is that, yeah, that intercessory prayer, I know for you both, is not something that is held onto for your own sense of, you know, I'm a prayer person or whatever, but it's born purely out of the sense of love for the other, which I think just leads us into this question, or this big wrestle really, is that why do you think God involves us in his work through prayer when he could just act on his own? Why does God even need us to pray, right? I mean, this is a big one. If God is all-powerful and he is all-sufficient, he is all-knowing, he even knows down to how many hairs are on this crazy old head of hair of mine, why on earth would he invite us to pray when perhaps he could do it on his own? Why does God even invite us into it?
So I think first, God is first a relational God, and we see that in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it even goes back to the very beginning in the garden, when God gave us free will and free choice. Again, it's that he longs for a relationship. He could have made us robots, and to do his will. But I think it comes back to him wanting to partner with us, and actually that invitation of us choosing to partner with him. And again, that surrendering our lives and joining him in his work. I think he can do it. He'll do it regardless, and he'll do it with whoever, but it's those that are willing, and that relationship, it comes back to that, having that relationship with us.
Yeah, ditto. Yeah, just that prayer comes out of relationship, and 'cause God's a relational God, as Shelley said, and when you think of, Jesus didn't say, my Father in heaven, he said, our Father. So it comes out of community. Yeah,
totally. So the word, one of the words for the Trinity is periokeresis, which perio is around, and keresis is to dance. And so there's this invitation to a divine dance with the Lord. And this is what prayer is, an invitation into the community of God, into the very presence of Father, Son, and Spirit. I love how he said, because of relationship, the line was somewhere thrown out this week while we were over in Bali, that that the Lord moves at the speed of relationship. And I think about my own life, and I think about the impact of prayer and how I engage in prayer and how I can find it difficult at times. And I'm like, God, why aren't you answering this prayer, but you're answering that prayer? Or you seem present here, but not present there, or all of that. I think at the end of the day, it's the Lord is willing us into intimacy and relationship with him, and out of that place he begins to work more, or we become more aware of his work in our lives. That's cool. Let's shift gears a little bit into kind of some mission and kingdom focused questions, because we know that prayer isn't just about us, although the beauty of it is that we reap the benefits of prayer in our own lives. That is a true gift, that we can know the Lord more fully, that we can receive peace as we come to the Holy Spirit and to the Father in prayer. We can, there is so much for us to engage in and to receive personally in prayer, but ultimately, God is at work in us for the benefit of others, for the glory and good of His name, and for what He's doing in the world. Let's have a bit of a convo around some of that mission and kingdom, you know, come and kind of vibe. So how has prayer helped you become more aware of what God is doing in the world or in someone else's life? So when you think about, yeah, the moment you, moments you might have in school canteen or, you know, Robin as a teacher or as a mum or whatever the case is, how has prayer helped you become more aware of what God is doing in that particular moment?
I think prayer is where I actually go to, like I said, with the canteen, to ask for God's heart on a situation and to get God's heart. Otherwise, I'm just viewing it and seeing it through earthly eyes. Whatever it might be that God's brought to my attention in the world or someone local, or I'll ask for God's heart and how God sees that person. Actually, I'll just tell a quick story of I was at home doing the washing up. This was a couple of years ago, and I was in my kitchen. I had the worship music on and praying and speaking to God, and he just dropped someone into my mind, and I started praying for this person. And he gave me a picture of how he sees this person, what's on their life, and I just continued praying for them. And then I saw a flicker out of the side of my eye, and I looked outside, and this person was standing in my front yard. And so I quickly, which they dropped something off, and they were just leaving, didn't even knock on the door, and so I chased them down. And they're dropping something off for Foz, and I chased them down. I said, "Oh, you wouldn't believe just what happened. God, I've been praying for you in my kitchen," and I just shared the story. And then that was up to them in that moment how they received that. But that's just an example of when God drops or puts people on your heart, what He wants to do in that moment.
I think, as I said to myself and God in the morning, and I ask Him to open my eyes to see things, because otherwise you can, you know, sometimes the nudges of the Spirit are very quiet and you can miss it. So it's asking God to help me to be open to Your Spirit in this day, in whatever way, whether it's a word You say, whether it's, like, I remember children in the playground, and they, little kinder kids and younger ones, always want their shoelaces tied up. And so when you're on your way to your recess to quickly grab your coffee and you got to navigate all the handballs, you sort of don't want to be stopping because you know you've got to go to the toilet and you only got a certain amount of time and you want your coffee. But then, you know, the Holy Spirit might say, no, stop. Stop and listen to that child. Stop and get down at their level and just listen. Put that aside. And it's just those little things. They can be the tiniest things, but to just stop in your day when you're busy and just listen when you don't have the time. And it's those things of, Lord, open my eyes to see You today, to listen, hear Your Spirit. So, yeah.
It's cool. I love the thought in that of how the power of prayer as it grows. You know, it starts as a very small prompt. Hey, sit with this kid. Or say hello to the person, you know, like just the small everyday promptings of the Spirit that are born from an openness of heart that says, hey, Lord, what adventure are we on today? You know, what have You got for me? Who do You have for me? What do You want me to pray? Just those small incidental, you know, we call them breath prayers. You know, God, who are You showing me to love today? Or whatever the case might be, insert your own thing. And then the Lord, as it happens, He does answer those prayers in the smallest of ways and our response to those things. And there's a snowball effect, I find, you know, like when we have faith enough to believe that God is going to answer the smallness of a simple prayer, and He answers that faithfully and gives us an opportunity to pray, then the person turns up at our front yard and then our eyes are open to it. You know, it's just this continuing invitation into the depth of what God is doing. But it begins with the simpleness of, God, what are You doing today? And maybe that's a point of practicality and application that you can take away, that, you know, that the Lord is not just active on a Sunday morning here in this building. Thank goodness. He is active, from the get-go on Monday morning all the way through to Friday afternoon. He is in your workplace. He is in your home. He is at work in the building site. He is at work in the university. He is at work whichever context you find yourself in. The missional heart of God is beating with intensity in that place. And he has positioned and placed you there to be a conduit through which his work and his kingdom is made manifest in the world. And so don't be fooled to think that it is only the pastors and the preachers through who God partners with to see his kingdom come in the world. Or the Reinhard Bonkies of the world, or the tele-evangelists, or the megachurch pastors, or whatever. It is in the life of the everyday follower of Jesus who has surrendered their life and their will to him that says, Lord, show me what you're doing today. He will answer that prayer in context, in live time, in real time, wherever you are. And so ask. That would be my encouragement for you. Wherever you turn up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., ask the question, Lord, what are you showing me? God, who do you want me to speak to? What is it you've got on your heart for me today? And watch his mission begin to become alive in your life in a whole new way. That's cool. It's cool. Thank you. Do you think that prayer can shape our heart for others or for situations we might not naturally care about? Which can be a confronting one. There are moments where the Lord may place something on your heart that's not within your realm of either passion or strengths or otherwise. Has there been a moment where the Lord has blindsided you with a moment to pray outside of what would normally be comfortable or familiar for you?
I think all the time. Prayer is where it's his agenda that comes forward, and it's his heart, and we partner with that. So it's not necessarily stuff that I would in the everyday be praying for. So again, it's his agenda, and I'll just share a story. I was with a friend I pray together with, and on our heart that this particular day was to pray for all the scripture teachers in the Shire, but also in where our kids go to school. And so we're praying for them, we're praying for the peace of God while, they're in the room. And then the next week we got a text message from someone from our school and saying that in the time of scripture, when they were present in the room, they've never felt a peace like they did in that time, and how God was speaking to them during that time. And so again, that's just, when God puts something on your heart to be praying for that I wouldn't normally be praying for, and then we see the outworking of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. God puts others on my heart in situations that I may not naturally care about. But for me, God gives me particularly burdens for people. And for me, it just comes like thoughts and I can't get them out of my head. And I realise that's God saying to pray. And I know there's many of you, that can talk about prayer yourselves and experiences you've had, but it's a real burden. And often I don't see the results of that, but I know to trust God in that, and it's probably until we get to eternity we won't see, or we will see the answers to our prayers, but to just be responsive to those burdens. Yeah,
it's cool. I think there's a good reminder in that fruitfulness is not our job, that's the Lord's, and that prayer is an act of sowing seed. And sometimes the Lord asks us to sow seed that we otherwise wouldn't think was in our bucket to sow. There's moments where you might put something so left of field on your heart, maybe a name of a person that you're like, why am I even thinking about that person right now? Driving along in the car, it happens to me pretty regularly. I'm like, a name of like a footy player would come into my mind or something, just random. I'm like, I don't even know this guy. Or like, but I just, like, the Lord would drop a person in my mind. I'm like, well, maybe that's just me. I just got to sow a seed in prayer in this moment and leave the fruitfulness to the Lord. And so, yeah, I think the Lord does that frequently. He puts things in our hearts that are just not within our scope of, you know, our normal daily routine or what we're thinking about or what we're passionate about. But nonetheless, he's putting that thing there for us to intercede for. This is a big question and one that's probably relevant to all of us. And there may not be a clear answer to, but maybe there's some encouragement to be taken from this. And it is this concept, or not even concept, the reality of disappointment. Who has ever been disappointed in the Lord? And that's okay. You can admit to that and be in good company. I have prayed for many things in my life, and they have not happened. Things that I thought that the Lord would be a little bit less indifferent to, in fact. The healing of family members. For babies that, you know, were unwell and didn't make it. You know, like these are prayers that have been prayed for, yet this sense of disappointment. I'm sure you've been there. Like, we're all in the same boat. And that's okay. Don't feel like you're any less if that has been your experience, because I am frequently disappointed, and I'm glad that the Lord has broad enough shoulders to handle our disappointments. He's okay with that. In fact, if you look at the Psalms, David was perpetually disappointed with the Lord, and that is, there's the beauty of prayer in that, is that being able to hold both the mystery and the wonder of God's amazingness and his work, but also the mystery of why is this not working? And that's where, and this again, Tyler Statton speaks beautifully to this, prayer is the middle ground between mystery and wonder, where we actually bring our disappointment to the Lord. Anyway, getting carried away. Have you ever struggled with disappointment when you prayed and it didn't happen? And how did you keep praying after that?
I'm very familiar with this one. For me, particularly your own children, you know, which are dear to your heart. And I know many of you know my story when my 3-year-old had a drowning accident and left him severely brain damaged. 80% of his brain was affected. They said to me after he's resuscitated that there's little or no hope. So that was a walk. And I remember when they got him out of the pool, and the ambulance were there, and they were trying to bring him back to life. And I remember there being three roads before me. And the first road, I said to God, Lord, heal him and bring him back the way he was. The second road was, you know, take him home with you, Lord. And the third road was, I said, Lord, I don't want this one. That he'll come back, but he will be like a vegetable. Well, the road I walked on was that third row, and our lives were totally changed from that point. But can I say that God met me in a way that I'd never experienced God, because I could not get through a day, could not get through a moment without the presence of God. And we had many people from our church who'd gather weekly to pray. And those prayers were powerful, and we prayed for healing, and we saw incredible miracles along the way. But the answer of his healing did not happen, but I believe God, and that's a question I still is unanswered, but can I say the presence of God was so real that it was one of my hardest times, and a time I would not wish on anyone, but in it I proved the presence of God in a way that I've never experienced before. And the reality of his presence was so real. It was like this bittersweet moment. And looking back, the tenderness and love of God was so real, and the love of his people. And, you know, little miracles, I think I've shared, you know, like it was his first birthday after his accident when he was 4. And people had heard about our story, and unbeknownst to them, they didn't know when his birthday was. So a school, a Christian school, you know, God put on their heart to pray for our little Peter. And they wrote all these cards, a pile of them. And do you know the day it was delivered? Was on the day of his fourth birthday. Now how, in all of that, you know, God coincidence, you know, he did not, you know, deliver me from that situation, but he gave me incredible hugs along the way that I prove God in a way that I have a confidence now, a depth, and that I can walk into a children's ward, into ICU, and not be afraid because I know what it's like and I can come alongside people. So God, you know, the prayer he did answer was that, God, you bring good out of this. You honour your name. And he will, you know, God is, you know, as Jen on that video last week showed, you know, from Brother Andrew, God answers prayers. Yes, he does. Maybe not always in the way we would hope, but he certainly does. And so I think I have learnt and am still learning the walk of endurance and persistence in prayer. And particularly with my family and children, and my eldest son at the moment is in a mental health ward. He suffers from mental health issues. He was the one that found his little brother in the pool, so I can guess that the trauma has not helped him with that. And but, you know, even last week, last Sunday, a fresh testimony. I was praying with others last Sunday after the service, and we prayed. His mental health was deteriorating, and he'd been already in 7 weeks in hospital. So we just prayed for a breakthrough, and I hadn't been able to talk to doctors and had tried to ring. And anyway, on the Sunday we prayed, and the Monday there was a complete change in my son. The nurses notice it. There's been a change. He's a lot calmer. He's better. And then the doctor rang me. So, you know, like, it's those experiences and, you know, hugging along those hugs, I call. And I think I'll just finish with that. It comes down to believing who God is in those moments, that who he is, that he is a good, good father, that he is faithful, he is trustworthy, and that's what you hold on to. That's what I've had to hold on to. And his word is yea and amen, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your words won't. So it's holding on to God's word like an anchor in the storm. And when everything tells you the opposite, you hold on to God and say, I know, Father, you're a good, good father. So that's my...
Cool, powerful, that God would use a situation like that, which is totally unfair, unexpected, not right, but in the midst of that, he has revealed himself to you in a way that has called you deeper into the Father's heart. And I think the power of prayer is in that, knowing that all of us will walk through situations. My prayer would be not as difficult and shocking as that, but chances are, in various ways, they may be. Significant life things that happen that absolutely rock your boat, and you're like, God, why? And I think that the answer to your experience is at least part of the answer, to draw you more deeply into the presence and into the Father's heart, that he would reveal to you more of himself in that moment and reveal the power and truth of the enduring word on which we stand. It's beautiful. Shell, did you have anything on that one? I'm just conscious of time as well, so we'll end in communion and whatnot. So, because I feel like maybe there's something the Lord wants to minister to in that, and maybe that's where we're going to land in a moment. But maybe just as far as, let's just dive down into just something practical, because I'd love for you guys to just impart some practical wisdom, so you've got a tool, at least a tool, to walk away with this morning. So are there any specific practices or habits that help you partner with God in prayer? That you find bear fruit in your life? Like, what are the simple things you do that, yeah, help you walk in this life of praying and partnering with God?
I've tried to have a day that is sacred. I call it a day of delight, that has sort of come with me through every season of life. And that's just a couple of hours that I keep, you know, once a week. And it's just the place where, I think, Dave, you've actually been over one day and in the back shed with Foz, and he wasn't allowed to come in the house on a Thursday. You had to stay out because no one comes in and interrupts my time in the presence of God. And but it's just that space and place that, like, you know, we sometimes experience in even worship where you come in and it takes, you know, a couple of songs for things to fall off and your worries and concerns and everything you've been carrying, and just to enter into that deeper place or space with God. And for me, we can have the pockets of daily bread that we're coming. But I think in the busyness as well, I need to go from, you know, your head to your heart, even deeper to your soul, where you finish a time of prayer and worship that you can walk out of and go, I don't have a care in the world because I've handed it all over. There's an exchange that happens, my cares and worries for his presence and glory. And it's that space and place that I try to cultivate intimacy with the Lord. And also just to be still, and that's a space where he speaks to me, and growing deeper in knowing him and his character and who he is. And just the other thing is, I've always had a prayer partner. I find that meeting with them is where we bounce off each other, and we're hearing together the Lord's will for whatever he wants to do, but also in our own lives. It's something we can't do on our own, and we find when we come together, whether that's in a small group or a prayer partner, there's a thread that normally rises up, and you can see what God's wanting to do.
For me, it's like when Jesus went away, came apart. So I think there's times where I just need to come apart from the normal devotions, have that chunk of time where you come away from the crowds, from all the different voices that bombard you, and set aside a special time. For me, you know, it's sometimes really hard from all the voices. I find, for me personally, the best thing is putting on worship songs, because that helps me just center myself in the presence of God. And for each of you, it might be something different. Like, it might be out in the ocean. I know for Jeff, you know, sitting out the surfboard waiting for the wave is, you know, or it could be in nature, you know, whatever, you know, we're all different, but something that will bring me into the presence of God where it stills my heart. And I just read this somewhere, which I thought was good. Prayer is more than talking. It's abiding in his presence. So I just felt, and that prayer, like Dave said, or intercession, it's a dance with him. So, and for me, I need that, the worship and the praise to just help me center my heart on him and his presence. And yeah, meeting with others definitely is a great encouragement, is a good practice as well.
Yeah, it's really encouraging. And maybe out of that, there's maybe a couple of practical things there that I would invite you into is, from Shell, I'm hearing that there's a weekly rhythm, and where it's a Thursday, where Foz, don't go nearer. What is the weekly rhythm that may be really helpful for you and brings you into the presence of God? And the other is encounter. So rhythm, encounter, and stillness. That was the other one there. Where in your week are you still? And that's probably the challenge, I know, for me, but for most of us. Where in your week are you still? Are you removed from the noise, removed from the screens, removed from the to-do list, removed from the tasks and the busyness? Where are you still? Because the encounter will happen in stillness. Will also happen in the busyness, but in the stillness. And so what's your weekly rhythm? Where can you find time to set aside and intentionally find yourself in the presence of God? And be aware of what he's saying. Two, where are you finding stillness and sitting in that stillness and asking the Lord to be present with you? And three, what was it? Is there a third one in there? Because we have to have a three-point sermon, right? No, we don't have to. It's all good. We're going to park it there because I'm aware of time. We're just going to take communion together. And I'll get the guys just to chuck on some quiet music up the back. And maybe this is a moment for you just to be still. Maybe you need 5 minutes And the Lord sometimes only needs 5 minutes of just total stillness as we take communion this morning on your own. And that's totally okay. Maybe there's a deep need that you come with this morning that you've walked in with, and there's a depth of weight that you are holding in the moment and you would love for someone to pray for you. If that's the case, I invite you to grab your communion and just stand up the back, and I'll ask some of our elders who are here this morning just to come and meet, stand with you and take communion and pray with you for that thing. Or perhaps just grab the person that you've come to church with this morning and just ask the question or make the statement, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and Lord, what does that look like right now? And maybe he will speak in a vision or a dream or a scripture or a word that you can take away and pray more into this week. So let's thank Shelley and Robin for their insight, for their experience, their wisdom. Thank you, guys. And so, yeah, I invite you to come down, grab bread, grab a bit of juice. And obviously, we are reminded that we can reign in prayer through the victory of Christ. That is the essence of our capacity, and the invitation to prayer is through what Jesus has won for us. That he has, by virtue of giving his body, being broken on the cross, forgiving us of all of our sin and walking us into relationship with him, he invites us into that place where we are welcomed into the depth of the Father's heart. And so by taking communion, we are reminded of the power of that relationship and what we're called into. And so you are called a child of God because of what Jesus has done. And so sit as a child this morning in the Father's presence, relishing in the Father's love, in the abundance of his grace, in the enormity of his love that he has for you, his child. And let's come in prayer this morning for what he is saying and what he's doing. So come on forward. Rocky, could you chuck on some quiet tunes up there? As I said, if you would love someone to pray with you, just head on up to the back. And someone will meet with you and pray. And friends, if you turn around and see someone standing on their own, just go and pray for them. Don't need a certificate or a qualification. You just need to love. So go and pray. If you need 5 minutes just to be still, be still. Or if you want to just chat with somebody who you feel close enough and trusted enough to chat through something with this morning, then do that or pray with a friend. But as you do that, let me pray. Father, I ask that in this moment your kingdom would come. On this patch of carpet, in this room, as it is in heaven. And Father, if there is an impartation of peace and power that you have for us, I ask that we would receive that with open hands. If it is ministering to our disappointment this morning, God, I pray that that would be right here in Jesus' name. If that is a release into a new season, I ask that that would be ours in Jesus' name. If that is a confirmation of decision that has been made, I ask that that would happen right now. If there's healing in bodies that need to happen, Jesus, I ask that that would happen now as we take communion. As it is in heaven, Jesus, may it be here in your name. Amen.